And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E. W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today, folks. And I know all of you are following the news closely and praying. My wife listens to the program regularly, and she said to me, do you normally open the program with prayer? And I said, no, not normally. I said, because it's not a preaching and teaching program. It's a program on the issues of the day. But I really felt led yesterday to open in prayer because I realize there's a lot of fear and hysteria, and people are frankly, they're on pins and needles about the future. And I think that in times like these, it's best to break protocol and acknowledge the only one who can solve all problems, including the Chinese Wuhan virus. Yeah, I will call it the communist Chinese Wuhan virus. How's that? And all this stuff, folks, about that being racist is just silliness. It's silliness. It is not the race of the Chinese government. It is the communist, wicked, evil ideology of the communist Chinese government. That's the issue. And the same was true with the Russians. And the Russians, last time I looked, are Europeans. But as far as I'm concerned, there's no difference whatsoever. So, but the left, see, this is what they do. They want to hide behind race and anything else they can find to try to silence anybody who raises an issue that they don't like. In fact, folks, to be very honest, they are traitors. These leftists who defend China are traitors. Because the fact of the matter is, we don't know whether China has unleashed this thing either intentionally or as the unintentional result of their experiments in biochemical warfare. We don't know. Maybe they didn't. But as I've said before, if they didn't, it's certainly not because they have any moral compunctions against doing so. Because they do not believe in God. They reject the existence of God. And their morality is the ends justify the means. Whatever it takes to accomplish their ends is moral as far as they're concerned. So this defense of coming to the rescue, Ariana Pressley and others calling it the Chinese virus is racist. I mean, how dumb can you get? How dumb can you get when you know that it came from China and you know that the Chinese government is an evil entity? It is an evil enterprise. And because we refer to it based upon where it comes from, even though we did that with the Zika virus, we did that with the Ebola virus, we did that with the Asian flu. All of a sudden now you can't do that now because that's racist. When in fact, Wuhan, China is a place of not one, folks, not one, but two biomilitary installations that China operates. Two of them are in Wuhan. And that's where the virus came from. Now, I might have been born during the day, but I wasn't born yesterday. And I don't think that it is inappropriate for me to look at the facts as they are. And if that's where it came from, and that it happens to be the place where there are two biomedical facilities that experiment with biochemical warfare, why in the world would I ignore that? I mean, that's beyond stupid. That's suicidal. And yet the president, as you all probably saw during his press conference, challenged by a reporter, aren't you stigmatizing the Chinese? Well, first of all, the Chinese people are as much victims of this wicked government as anybody else ever would be who comes under the domination, under the captivity of a communist dictatorship. I guarantee you, the people would rather live like we live here in the United States of America, but they can't. As I've said before, the doctor who announced it is dead. An entrepreneur who criticized the Chinese government for their handling of it has disappeared. Now, even a liberal ought to be able to connect those dots. Even a liberal. And yet you don't hear anything about that. You don't hear them saying, well, this is terrible. We need to get proper information. They shouldn't be arresting people who and killing people who give us information about the nature of this virus and how it spread and where it came from and how it got started and how it broke forth. And No. You don't hear that. President Trump shouldn't be calling it the Chinese virus. That's racist. You know, folks, it's the kind of thing, and I always use this, it's metaphorical, but it just makes you want to dope slap people. You know what I mean? I say I use it metaphorically, meaning I'm not talking about actually hitting someone with my hand, but you just want to somehow slap a person's jaws verbally or somehow to say, what is wrong with you? Folks, do they really hate America and Americans that much that they're willing to defend our adversaries and attack our president who is doing everything in his power to save the American people from this thing? And you know what? Sadly, I think the answer is yes. They have been taught to hate their own country. And of course, you know, they'll mouth words of patriotism when you challenge them sometimes. Oh, no, I love America too, but I think that America needs to be blah, blah, blah. And then they'll start justifying themselves. But when you hear things like what Michelle Obama famously said, for the first time in my life, I'm proud of my country. And you hear people like Governor Cuomo say, it was never that great. Then you wonder, or you hear people say, you know, I get tired of people wrapping themselves in the flag, as if that's a horrible thing. Who do you? Why are you so proud of that piece of junk? Remember that? That Barack Obama didn't want to wear the flag lapel pin, and it created such a hue and cry that he finally put one on. But he said, that's not the kind of patriotism I believe in. Because I think, frankly, they just have such an utter disdain for this country, an utter disdain for its symbols, our flag, our national anthem, and all of that, our Pledge of Allegiance, that they just think that those who adhere to these things and see these things as unifying symbols of our country, there's something wrong with them. They're full of hatred. They're nationalists. They're bad people. As Ilhan Omar has put it, they don't like the other. And what a load of garbage that is. But that's what we're dealing with, folks. And even in the midst of dealing with this crisis, the president has got to confront that kind of just twisted, perverted thinking because they're full of hatred of him. In fact, I've got a story for you all when we come back. Just stand by.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Often when I talk about the deaths of despair affecting so many young people, I am asked, why are so many unhappy? There are a number of reasons, but first let's discuss how serious this problem has become. In the U.S., the suicide rate quadrupled for young men and doubled for young women from 1946 to 2006. Another study found that suicidal thinking, severe depression, and the rate of self-injury among U.S. college students more than doubled over less than a decade. Dennis Prager suggests that the reasons for such despair can be put into two categories, loss of values and loss of meaning. The loss of values is easy to document in this country. Judeo-Christian values were important in the founding of this country and important in the maintenance of this republic. Also, middle-class values were important. This would include getting married, making a family, getting a good job, demonstrating self-discipline, and patriotism. Values were also lost when various communal associations declined. The Frenchman Alexis de Tocqueville explained that the strength of America derived from their professional, social, civil, political, artistic, philanthropic, and religious institutions. A second reason for despair is lack of meaning. Viktor Frankl, in his classic work, Man's Search for Meaning, reminds us how meaning, or the lack of it, can explain so much about human nature. Poor people can be happy if they have meaning, while rich people who have money but no meaning are usually unhappy. Religious faith can give life meaning, and more young people have no connection to religion. The fastest growing demographic among young people are the nuns, those who define themselves as atheist, agnostic, or no preference. So many young people today are unhappy because of the loss of values and the loss of meaning. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Socialism, go to viewpoints.info/socialism. That's viewpoints.info/socialism.
Steve Russo with Real Answers.
Down deep, everyone has a thirst for justice. It's a view of moral rightness based on fairness and values. But who decides what's right and fair? It's a hotly debated subject that's been associated with fate, reincarnation, or even a cosmic plan for life. There are countless examples of injustice in our world today. Many are crying out for justice in the midst of observing human suffering. Sometimes we are so enraged by what we see happening, we want to take justice into our own hands. We want vengeance, but retribution has to be left up to the Lord. He's a God of justice and will one day right all wrongs. We can't ignore the injustice in our world. As followers of Jesus, we have to do everything we can, with God's help, to seek justice for those who cannot do it for themselves.
For real answers to real issues, log on to Steve's website, www.realanswers.com.
Brian Fisher here. The first coronavirus patient has apparently been cured by the anti-malarial medication chloroquine. I'll explain why it's so promising. The president understands we need to get America back to being America quickly, but the Democrats are obstructing him at every turn. And Joe Biden loses his place reading from a teleprompter. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Now, folks, I'm going to mention this once again only because something happened earlier today that I think justifies it. And then I want to talk about what we see happening with other people because, you know, the communist Chinese Wuhan virus is certainly dangerous. And for some people, obviously, it is deadly. What happened in Kirkland, Washington, where I think had about 35 elderly people die from this, and people who are in their 80s and 90s, those are the folks who were affected by it. They are highly vulnerable to this, and we certainly want to protect them. We want to protect everybody, for that matter. We know that younger, healthier people are far less prone to the disease being deadly, and it kills right now. The death rate is about 1.3%. Terrible, bad, but not the end of the world either. Given the fact, I think the president himself pointed out, we had almost 39,000 people that die in automobile accidents every year. 23,000, I believe, have died of the coronavirus. Have died of the seasonal flu this season. 23,000. Life is not perfect, can never be made 100% safe. The only way to be 100% safe, and frankly, you can't even be 100% safe if you lock yourself in your house. You know, you can't even be 100% safe there. Accidents happen in houses. People break into houses. Life is not and can never be completely safe. And so we have to measure the dangers that are out there against the requirements that we function as human beings, right? I mean, airplanes fall out of the sky. It does happen, but we still fly them because we know the likelihood of any one of us dying in an airplane crash is close to nil. But there, some people do die in airplane crashes. And that's the way it is. But having said all that, I think the left is really using this crisis to advance their socialist, communist, Marxist agenda and to exercise a level of power that is unprecedented in this country by state and local leaders. And I've been questioning that from the very beginning, and I've been talking about this socialist, communist connection for months now. And I think I must have struck a chord somewhere because I think, as I told you all, about 5 days ago, I got a death threat, and it was considered credible by the FBI, and they're investigating it. The person said, I don't think I told you all what the person said, but I'll tell you what the person said. The person said to me, I can't tell you all of it because it ended vulgarly, but the person said, I would hate to be charged with shooting E.W. Jackson, but it's looking that way. Boom, boom. And then ended with the B-I-T-C-H word. Okay, so I turned that over to the authorities. I'm living my life. I'm doing what I normally do. I mean, this comes with the territory to some extent when you're a high-profile person and you say things that you know other people may not like. Well, today I had a call scheduled. I have a Tuesday call every Tuesday at noon Eastern time, and I have various guests on the call to talk about the issues of the day. It's called the National Awakening Coalition Conference Call, sponsored by my nonprofit organization, STAND. And my guest today was Trevor Loudon. And we changed the number in order to deal with the overflow of people now using these free conference call numbers. We changed the number. So, okay, we're getting on the call. I got on the computer. Somebody hacked us. And we started to get a barrage of nasty images and the N-word and other things that made me have to cancel the call. We couldn't go on with the call. I said, folks, I can't put you all through this. This is not fair to you all. And we can't really do it anyway because there's no telling what somebody might say on the call. Now, I don't know whether that the death threat is related to this. The fact that they're 5 days apart and this never happened before does make you wonder, obviously, since both are highly unusual events. As long as I've been doing these calls, I think I've been doing about 8 or 9 years, never had this happen before. Suddenly it happens. I said that simply to say this. Folks, there are people out there who will exploit any situation because they really are full of hate. And they're not the conservatives. They're the people of the left. I mean, they just hate the fact that people won't bow down to their opinions and won't agree with them and won't just go along with whatever they want to do, whatever kind of power they want to exercise. They really hate that. And they hate people who do that. I mean, just right now, and I'm no big fan of Rand Paul, but Rand Paul's got the virus, right? Rand Paul's got the virus, and so he's in quarantine. And Nancy Pelosi's daughter, apparently, makes a comment indicating, well, not only should he have the virus, but the neighbor who attacked him and beat him up was justified. I mean, what? Yeah, I mean... Folks, you hear again. That's what I mean when I say dope slap. I don't hear again. Not like they mean. They obviously mean it literally. But what I mean is metaphorically, you'll say, wait a minute, do you know what you're saying? That's a fellow American. That's a fellow human being. You may not agree with him. You may not even like him personally. Maybe you know him and don't like him personally. But you really want somebody to hurt him? You want somebody to kill him? And sadly, folks, apparently the answer is yes. You know, there are about, I think, 19 or 20 Hollywood people who made depictions of killing the president. I mean, from Madonna, I want to blow up the White House, to Snoop Dogg pointing a gun at a figure. It was a toy gun, obviously, but still pointing a gun at a figure of the president. And on, to needless to say, this Kathy Griffin holding a what appeared to be a severed head of the president. I mean, folks, the hatred is unbelievable. And look, at a time of crisis, they don't lay it aside. They don't say, well, you know what? I don't agree with these folks, but we're all Americans and we're in trouble. We got to pull together and work together and look out for each other. I mean, because that's really the way I feel. It really is. That's the way I feel. I feel like Look, I look out for anybody. I mean, I'll try to help anybody. I've told my church, look, we believe God for our protection, but be considerate of your neighbors. Be considerate of the people around you. Don't be irresponsible. Don't act like, well, because I'm a Christian, I believe God, I don't care what happens to anybody else around me, or I'm going to do whatever I want to do. No, just do consideration for other people, because they may not share that faith. They may be in fear. They may be in anxiety. And you don't want them to think, well, I just disregard you. You don't matter, because they do matter. Even if it's somebody who doesn't like or agree with you, they still matter. Folks, the left doesn't see it that way. And, you know, it's amazing to me. They're still attacking the president. They're still attacking the president. And by the way, I mean, the little stuff I go through, please. I wouldn't even bring it up in the face of what President Donald J. Trump has to deal with. I mean, it's, folks, it doesn't even deserve to be mentioned in the same breath. I don't even want to contemplate the kinds of threats that he probably gets. I'm glad the country doesn't even know, because it's probably daily. Because these leftists just never, I mean, he's a dictator they never let up with the nasty things that they're saying about him. And even now, with this president doing everything in his power to help this nation, they're not satisfied. So now they're trying to divide him from Fauci. And the president has made clear, and this is kind of upset, I think, some of the press, doesn't seem to have upset Fauci. I mean, he's just made clear, I'm in charge. And the president has said something to this effect: I will listen to all the medical experts, but I will make the decisions. I think right now, folks, the president is contemplating a ratcheting back of the shutdown of the economy. I think that he's looking at that. I think when the 15 days are up, I think, look, this is my opinion based upon every signal I'm reading, but I think that when the 15 days are up, we're going to see the president come out and say something to the effect, okay, folks, we understand what we're up against now. We can no longer afford to have the economy shut down. I think that the president is going to say something like that. I don't know the exact words he'll use. I don't know the exact measures he'll take. But as I read the tea leaves, I think he's realizing, as he tweeted out on Sunday, we don't want the cure to be worse than the disease. And you know what? I guarantee this, whatever he says, he will be viciously attacked for it. Viciously attacked for it. Because there's just nothing he can say that any of the people on the left in the media, the Democrat Party, in fact, right now, they're holding up a rescue package. They're fighting right now over that, because I guess there are things that they want, that the left wants. They always want a Christmas tree of stuff and spending, and they got all these ideas about, you know, as I said yesterday, Jim Clyburn saying, This is an opportunity for us to restrict things in accordance with our vision. And some other Democrat legislator says, how often are we going to have a chance to pass a $1 trillion package? Rahm Emanuel said it, never let a good crisis go to waste. And apparently they are taking full advantage of that principle. All right, folks, I want to get your questions and comments and see what you all are thinking about things as they unfold. But you would think there'd be a let up of the hatred and a let up of the anger and a let up of the attacks and just a desire to see Americans come together, work together until we get this thing under control. Oh, no. They're not attacking China that gave everybody the virus. No, they're attacking the president, who's trying to get rid of it. Folks, the number is 888-589-8840. When we come back, I want to take your calls. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
You probably never heard of Johnny Ring, at least not of the Johnny Ring which I'm speaking of. for Johnny isn't very famous. He did very little which our world considers worthy of fame. Nevertheless, the story of Johnny Ring needs to be passed on. Johnny lived during the war between the states. When a company of soldiers was being organized in the area in which Johnny lived, Johnny asked to be a part of it. However, the captain who was organizing the company had other thoughts. In his thinking, Johnny was too young and too little. The captain refused to take the boy into his group. But Johnny was persistent. If he couldn't be a soldier, he could be a soldier's helper. He asked to go along as the servant of the captain. Following some discussion, the captain agreed to take the boy along as his servant. He liked the boy's desire. "You will be a better soldier if I can help you take care of some of your things," Johnny said. Well, Johnny was a good servant. He kept the captain's boots polished, his tent neat, and his sword shining. But while Johnny was a good servant, he had his differences with his captain. Johnny had promised his mother before she died that he would read the Bible every night. Now, this didn't set well with the captain, for he was an avowed atheist. Johnny would read his Bible in the captain's tent each night before he went to bed. One night, the captain ordered Johnny never to read the Bible in his tent again. Johnny continued to read, often reading while the captain was not in the tent. The troops under the command of the captain were surprised by the enemy one day and forced to retreat across a bridge. The Confederate forces set the bridge on fire. Suddenly, in the midst of battle, Johnny Ring was seen running across the burning bridge. Soldiers on both sides held their fire. Very shortly, the bridge engulfed in flames. They watched as Johnny Ring ran back across, carrying the prized sword of his captain in his hands. As Johnny reached the side where the captain was, he fell to the ground with clothes on fire. Some of the soldiers managed to get the fire out, but it wasn't long before Johnny Ring was dead. After Johnny was buried, the captain began to think seriously about Johnny Ring and his Christian faith. Maybe the faith that Johnny had would help him be like Johnny. And it wasn't too long until the captain embraced the faith of Johnny and claimed the Carpenter of Galilee as his master. Nearly 15 years later, he became a Baptist minister. During his ministry, he founded Temple University, the Temple University Medical Center, and all told, raised $11 million for Christian causes. More than once, when questioned about his long hours of work, he would say, "I have to live two lives, mine and Johnny Ring's. Johnny died for me." Like we said, you probably never heard of Johnny Ring. Maybe you have heard of Johnny's captain. His name was Russell Conwell, and he was the founder of Temple University.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And folks, you know, I've been praying that Easter, Resurrection Sunday, would be a turning point in all this, and the president has announced that he wants businesses open by Easter. Thank you, Jesus. But folks, that's what I've been thinking and praying and believing God in my heart, that since this happens right around Easter, right around resurrection, I've been asking God, "Lord, just show yourself strong and testify to yourself. Bring glory to your holy and righteous name by having the whole world look and say, 'Wow, you know, interesting, right around Easter, things really kind of changed, didn't they?' Yeah, that's when everything started to get better." And those of us who know why they started to get better can say, "This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Okay, I want to come to the phones and see what you all have got to say and what you're thinking today. So let's go first to Kenny in Mississippi. Kenny, welcome.
Thank you, Bishop. My wife and I love your show. We listen to you every day. And you're doing God's work, and bless you. My question is, if our Congress has to appropriate this $1.5 trillion, which is the guesstimate, to China. How come we just couldn't call it a wash? Because it's my understanding that we owe China. We borrowed from China about $1.5 trillion.
Wow. You know, Kenny, I saw the call posted before I called on you, and I thought, you know, that's a brilliant idea. You know, and to me, it's exactly the kind of idea that this president gravitates to. So I'm glad you brought that up. That's something I think that's worthy of some further discussion. Now, obviously, we don't hear again. We don't want to go to war with China. But I would think that given the fact that China held back on information, and as a result, this virus has spread more rapidly and without the ability to stop it early because of China's failure to provide adequate information, open information about the nature of this thing and its contagious, the contagion that it poses, the contagious threat that it poses. Yeah, why shouldn't there be a kind of tax on China, so to speak? Why shouldn't some of that debt or all of that debt be forgiven? Because this thing is going to cost us trillions of dollars, folks. So, you know, I tell you all sometimes, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but there's a certain seriousness to it. I think I've got the most brilliant audience in the world. So thanks, Kenny. I'm going to mention that to some people because I think that's an idea worthy of some discussion. All right, let's go to Kay in Kansas. Kay, welcome.
Thank you, Bishop. I'm just real short on what I want to say, and then I'll hang up. But I would like to say a prayer to God and ask Him to put a hedge of protection around you and your family and around AFR Radio and all the people that are knowing what to do, and that things will happen good. And thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Kay. I appreciate that very, very much. And I know you're also including the president in that. And certainly we need to be praying for the president of the United States, folks. And I think there are forces that would love to bring him down by whatever means they could. So we certainly need to be surrounding the president with a hedge of love and protection. Okay, thank you for the call. Let's go to Janet in Texas. Janet, welcome.
Yes, Kenny, what he said, that is his name, right?
Well, yes, that's right. Yeah. I think that was Kenny, yes.
He gave some really informative information there because that was good to know.
Right.
A lot of we don't know. And I agree with him. And I agree with that, Kay, you know, I'll be praying. I have prayed, and I pray for our president every day, and several.
Amen.
And I thank you, young man, for all that you do, you and AFR, for accurate news, and it's very important we hear the accuracy in news. But I want to say I support President Trump 100%. I applaud him for his care and concern for we the people, and he's doing the right thing. I mean, some people, it's an adjustment because of this virus that is out there. And I just heard today here in a local town that a woman, 40 years old, she had some health issues anyway. They said that she died.
Mm.
And there's an 80-year-old man in the hospital with it from another nearby town. And so, but in our community right here, so far we have not had anything. But I used to work at a hospital, and yes, washing your hands good, common sense,
mm-hmm.
You know, don't touch your eyes, nose, mouth, ears. You know, I used to work as an admitting clerk. I worked around a lot, but, you know, you do need to keep healthy and do the protective methods, and it works.
All right.
But I do, you know, what they're setting in place right now, the whatever President Trump has said and the governors, they're trying to protect we the people. I applaud them, and I thank you, young man, for getting all the info out there and all that you do. And
thank you again, Janet,
for serving our country.
And thank you.
We applaud you. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet. Thank you very much for the call. We, We appreciate that very, very much. Well, you know, folks, that's one of the – of course, I make a distinction between the president and some of these governors because I think some of them have perhaps overstepped their bounds. But one of the reasons why, even if somebody could nitpick with this decision or that decision of the president, one of the things I really love about this president is I really sincerely believe that this president makes decisions on the basis of what he believes to be good for the American people. And he doesn't care whether it sounds politically correct or whether people agree with it or not. That's his goal. So even if you want to nitpick, well, maybe he should have done this rather than that, or maybe he should have done it this way rather than that way. You don't ever have to wonder, is he doing it like some presidents, in my view, we could question, well, where are their interests? And you have to wonder, are their interests really with the American people, or are they somewhere else? Are they with Islam, or are they with their own personal lusts, or are they with trying to sound politically correct and make the New York Times like them, whatever? Not President Trump. I believe President Trump is always trying to do what he believes to be best for the American people. So thank you for the call, Janet. Really appreciate that. Let's see. Okay. All right. I'm going to come right back to the lines when we come back. Let me just say, folks, before we go to another break here, and I'll come back and start taking some more of your calls. You know, the other thing that really incenses me is the degree to which this Congress and these liberals in Congress are using this to load up a smorgasbord of all of their little leftist goodies that they've always wanted, and they want to use this crisis to get them. And the president has said, no partisanship. Let's leave aside the partisanship. Let's just deal with this virus, not with all of the little things you're accustomed to try to slip into legislation that has nothing to do with that legislation, but you figure this is a good time to get it in because nobody can vote against the legislation because it's so important. I mean, let's dispense with that. Let's go ahead and pass a bill that really helps the American people. It helps all those folks who've lost their jobs, helps get these businesses that have been absolutely devastated to get back on their feet, get the economy back up moving again. And then you can start to have the debates about all these other little things that leftists have always dreamed of. But not now. My goodness gracious, not now. And they've got the legislation all held up because, you know, they figure they can hold the Republicans' feet to the fire and force them to go along with anything they hang on this bill. I mean, here again, folks, that's what I love about this president. See, I don't believe the president of the United States is ever playing those kinds of games. I think he deals with the problem at hand. He wants to solve that problem. And then other issues can be dealt with in their turn. It would be great if the Congress of the United States would begin to do that, if these Democrats would just say, you know what, we're going to lay aside politics right now, and we're going to help the American people, and then we can get back to debating on other things when it's over. And that is my prayer. You all stand by.
Well, you got the right word, discipline.
With all the busyness of life, managing your time can be a challenge. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and Dr. Gary Chapman suggests some ways to say no to certain things.
It is discipline. And I remember when our kids were still at home, of course, our kids are grown now, but when our kids were still at home, of course, I was a pastor, and I had all the things that go with that. Every pastor knows all of that. You know, it's a 24-hour job. I would arrange in my schedule, if I knew I had something that I had to do at church that night, I would arrange to be home at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when the kids came home. And I'd have time with them, homework or whatever, before dinner. And then I'd go back to the church, but I spent that time with them. But that's discipline, because there's always something you could be doing during that time, you know.
Oh yeah.
And we have to say no to some things in order to say yes to the family.
More from Dr. Chapman at FamilyMinute.org.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
Jesus Christ was crucified on a cross. He was buried. And 3 days later, he rose from the grave.
He's alive.
In ages past, Christians have faithfully shared the account of their risen Savior. Now is our time. One effective way to do that is by wearing and sharing the American Family Association He Lives Easter buttons. They open the door for a conversation about the gospel. Visit afastore.net.
In the book of Isaiah, the word tells us, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. In the same way, without careful planning, your financial goals could blow away like the seeds of a dandelion. It's never too early or too late to consider how a charitable gift annuity can help you meet the financial goals you've set for your loved ones, your causes, and yourself. Give AFA Foundation a call at 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit our website, afafoundation.net. Let us explain how a charitable gift annuity can help you achieve your goals. As we read in Proverbs, the plans of the diligent lead to profit. Our phone number again is 800-326-4543, extension 345, and our website is afafoundation.net.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Yeah, folks, they're trying to stick the Green New Deal in. I mean, every little pork barrel idea they've ever had, they now want to stick it in this bill. And instead of just dealing with the problem at hand for the American people, this is why the American people have no respect for Congress and no respect for these legislators, generally speaking. Because they always seem to want to do something for themselves and their little ideological perspective, and really are the interests of the American people first and foremost in their hearts and minds. All right, let's get back to your calls. Let's go to I'm sorry about that. That's Chris in Ohio. Chris, well, you know what?
Yes, sir. Reverend Jackson.
There you go, Chris. Good.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for taking my call. You got a very good gentleman on taking the calls. Very nice young man.
Thank you.
And thank you for your service. I am a Vietnam veteran, a veteran also, and two sons that served in Iraq and Afghanistan. So we are very God, family, and country. But I also, and I retired from law enforcement, I am a herbalist and a nutritionist. And according to God's ways, and believe me, Reverend Jackson, they're unbelievable. God gave us a powerful immune system to all the creatures. I am a woodsman, a hunter. I work, I get out and just... But people are not being told how to keep their immune system strong. There is a whole list of powerful herbs. We grow our own organic garlic. It has unbelievable properties to kill bacteria, viruses, parasites, fungi, all kinds of things. And olive leaf extract, there's a whole list of good things. And one of the main ones is silver, silver solution. It's been
around for centuries. Huh. Okay, yeah, well, listen, Chris. Look, thank you for calling. I would say that this is a good time. I've said this before. It's a good time for Americans to reconsider how they're treating their bodies and maintaining their immune systems. So I appreciate you bringing that up. And folks, you can do your own research to find out about that. But Chris, I appreciate you reminding us that we have a responsibility to do the very best we can to keep our own bodies strong and keep our immune system strong. So let's go to Bob in Mississippi. Bob, welcome. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Bob. Are you in Montana?
Yes, I am.
Oh, there you go. Okay, sorry about that. Misread the prompter.
Yes, Brother Jackson, thank you for this time that we can use. And I just happened to see a short time ago that we had something on the television that brought up Chuck Schumer. And he was commenting on the virus and saying it was so bad. And then adding to that, that it's too bad we have to deal with that. And then we've got a president, he says, that doesn't know what he's doing. And so here we go again. And he's the same one who threatened the Supreme Court justices with harm. And he's got the hate. I don't know what it is, a hate button. He votes for murdering defenseless babies. It's just too much. Go ahead.
I know, Bob. He's a piece of work. He just won't quit. He just won't let up, and he just can't help but viscerally criticizing the president. The president of the United States can simply do no right in the mind of somebody like Schumer, and yet Schumer is doing absolutely nothing but standing up there pontificating. And just adding hot air to the atmosphere. So, you know, but that's what he's going to do, because frankly, in my view, that's all he knows how to do. He doesn't have anything to offer. I don't even know why the people of New York keep sending him to the United States Senate. They need to send him home, retire him. But thanks for the call, Bob. We appreciate that. Now we go to Mississippi. Brenda, welcome.
Hey, sir.
Hey.
I want you to know, number one, I'm going to try to be quick. I'm mouthy. Number one, you are a calming voice in all of this fear-mongering. You are so wonderful. We have to remember Yahweh is over all. The second
Amen.
Thing, honey, I want to say is we have to remember who is our God, Yahweh, and what did he say his name was? Jealous. And what did he say? You serve me, but if you you bring in these little G's, these little gods, and you allow them to make their worship places, he said, you are to find them, you are to destroy them, and you are to cleanse that place with fire. He said, I will have no other gods before me. And, you know, sir, we are based on Christian foundational ideas here. Values.
Yes, we are. Yes,
if
right.
If you want to go ahead and be a Lutheran, if you want to be a Pentecostal, if you want to be a Baptist, that's all right. And you serve Yahweh. That is the main thing. The head of any of those is Yahweh. It
Amen.
Is not Allah. But you have a right to freedom of religion and tweak those little things. If you want to go to church on, like, Seventh-day Adventist, you can do that. But what is the common denominator? Yahweh. And
we All right. Well, listen, Brenda, we've got it. Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Brenda. I appreciate the compliment, too. And look, you're right. Folks, I say all the time, I will defend the right of a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Hare Krishna. I will defend their right to worship as they please without the government trying to interfere with them or restrict them or do them harm. But I will argue until I breathe my last breath that the God they're serving is not real, and that the only true and living God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I will defend their right to be wrong, because that's the nature of religious liberty. And you can't take it from others and not have it taken from you. However, that does not mean that we have to deny the fact that our country is a Christian country culturally. That is our heritage. That is our background. That's who we are. And the left, I think, frankly, would love to take that from us. And they don't understand. If you take that from us, you take away what makes America great. You can never make America great again without God. And thank God this president knows that. All right, let's go to Barry in Georgia. Barry, welcome.
Thank you, Bishop, for taking my call. First off, we do sincerely need to be praying for our leadership, for President Trump, Vice President Pence, their senators and representatives.
You're fading out on me.
Right.
There you go, Barry.
Sincerely, hello?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Pray for Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Alexandria Cortez, that they would have a change of heart.
Right.
And we really need to lift those folks up also. And also, we need to call our senators and make sure that they study this bill. I know they're in a hurry to pass it, but at least take a day, 24 hours, and let their staff look through it. We don't need to be extending funding to abortion clinics. I've heard they're going to fund cruise lines, which none of them are flagged for U.S. so they can avoid taxes, student loans, the Kennedy Center, a lot of that stuff. We really need to let our senators know that we're going to hold them accountable for what they put in this bill. And I appreciate you taking my call.
Amen.
Also, another thing.
Well, Barry, amen.
I understand that President Trump wanted to be and was involved in a conference call that Tony Perkins made to several hundred pastors, and President Trump asked if he could be included in that conference call, which I believe he was, and asked them to pray for him. So that's very uplifting right there that he,
amen,
he would do.
Amen. Barry, thank you so much for the call. Let's see. We have time for one more. Folks, can't get to you. I wish I could. As a matter of fact, I was invited to be on that call. I could not because of my schedule. But the President of the United States has surrounded himself by men and women of God, people of prayer, people who love God, love this country, and are willing to give this president sound advice based on the Word of God. And I tell you that here again, that's one of the most encouraging things that I find, I mean, among many things, frankly, that I find about this president. You know, I've been reading some of his books and books about him that go back a ways, and I'm finding out something. You know, the left, there's something they didn't understand about him. You know, they thought he was great when he was in New York building buildings and he was supporting charities and they would go to him and get checks. And everybody thought Donald Trump was just great. You know, Donald Trump, the celebrity entrepreneur, the celebrity developer, celebrity builder. Here's what they fail to understand. Donald Trump's always been a patriot. And he makes clear, if you go back and read his stuff from years ago, he makes clear that he loves this country, that he doesn't want America taken advantage of by foreign entities, by foreign countries, that he wants America to always be first. I mean, he didn't just come up with that when he started running. He's felt that way a long time. It just wasn't obvious because he wasn't in the political arena. He was doing developing and building. And then later on, of course, he got into entertainment, but still he was doing a particular role. But they didn't understand this man has been a patriot for a long, long time. And patriotism lends itself toward a more conservative perspective because you appreciate the past that has given us the present and promises us a better future. And I think if they really stopped to think about that, they would have understood who a President Trump would be. So, folks, thank God for him. Keep praying for him. Pray for our country. And here again, let's do the things that we know we need to do. But I predict that in the next week, we're going to hear from the president and we're going to start to see the economy start to come back to normal. And in the meantime, remember this, folks. We cannot be defeated if we will not quit because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.